So this past week, I had the opportunity to spend some time in Phoenix, Arizona, where it was 77 and the sun was out. It was terrible. I also had the opportunity, interestingly enough, to go and listen to a gentleman. There's a program in Arizona called the Arizona Speakers, or the Phoenix Speakers Association, and they bring in people from all over the country to sit down, and they have a 35, 40 minute talk, and then they have a Q&A. And I had the opportunity, because my friends had a ticket, to go and listen to retired General Kelly. After 45 years in the Marine Corps, he retired, a four-star general. And as you know, he did some other things as a civilian because his country asked him to do so. And he was he wasn't a particularly dynamic speaker. I guess if you're a brigadier general, you don't have to, you know, be dynamic. You just say, do it, and they do it. But he was incredibly interesting to listen to and to talk as he talked about his life. He was in the service for 45 years, and between the 45 years that he started and ended, he and his family moved 29 times. Do the math. Do the boxes. And so after 45 years, he retired. And he and his wife, he said that he and his wife one afternoon on a weekend were sitting down watching a football game. I don't think it was Kansas City, so sorry. But somebody called and said, I'd like to talk to you. And he said, I'll get back to you. So he turned to his wife and he said, well, honey, what do you think? What should I do? His wife said to him two things. After 45 years, you've never turned down your country when it asked you to serve. And quite frankly, this retirement stuff isn't what it cracked up to be. So my friends and I spent some time after the conversation with the general. We talked about some of the things that he said or didn't say and how he said it. And we actually did it that evening and the next evening over supper. We also continued the conversation. But there were a couple things that sort of struck me. And one of the things that struck me is that when his country asked him to do something, he responded because he said, I was a soldier and I raised my right arm and I pledged to defend my country. Not to ask questions, but to defend my country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And he said that there were a lot of people that he served with over the years that came in for a while, did their service time, and then left. And he said those people were changed irrevocably by their service because they became part of something greater than the whole of themselves. They had to sort of step out of themselves and realize what they were called to be a part of. And as a Marine Corpsman, he was called to excellence. So he wasn't just good enough to become a four-star general. He excelled. He was committed, and he lived out that life of commitment to the fullest of his ability. And about this time, you should be saying, Father, what has that got to do with me? Is anybody asking that question? Because if not, we'll keep talking. We are called to ask that same question as Catholics in today's world. How can I, in today's world, given the chaos in our church, in our communities, in our public life, in our private lives, how can I somehow excel and live out this word that Jesus Christ has given the disciples and the people that he is preaching to? Be perfect as my Heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, sure, I can do that. And then tomorrow I'll, you know, empty the ocean. Jesus Christ understood that. He understood what he was asking when he gave this to the disciples and the men and women who were listening to him and following him. He understood that what he was asking for required a commitment, a willingness to step outside of ourselves and say, I can do that. I can strive to get there. I will tell you that I don't always get even close. There are some days when I look around and I go, how on earth can I get where I need to go with the call that Jesus Christ has given me? Because I don't always feel like I'm capable of doing that. Prayer helps. Prayer is a constant. And I can tell you that prayer got me ordained, so don't quit praying, folks. Ask for what you need. Ask for strength. Ask for courage. Ask for support. Ask for God's love in your lives. Because God never turns us down. He's always listening, and he always responds. And I will tell you that the reason that we don't always hear him is because we're listening with the wrong organ, frankly. Stop listening with your head. I have never found in Scripture where it says, God said, think about me. God says, love me. God says, I will send my son because I love you so much that I want you redeemed, I want you saved. And so I will send my son who I love and who loves you. And I will send the Holy Spirit who is love to be among you. He so loved his son that he sent him among us. He so loved his son that death could not keep him. He so loved his son that in the resurrection, he showed us how much he loves us too. There's the payoff. 50 years, 45 years, 90 years, 91, 92. Not too long ago, we buried a young woman who was 103. And who loved God to the end, and who God loved. You could see it. You could tell it when she talked. That's the call. And as we stand on the cusp of Lent, this is a good opportunity for us to decide, how am I going to enter this season? What am I going to do differently so that I can respond when God says, be perfect, just as your Heavenly Father is perfect? What am I going to strive toward? What will I do differently this year so that when the resurrection comes, I'll be ready, I'll be present, I'll be enfolded in God's love and lifted up by his grace? Ask that question this week. Because I will tell you, Lent is coming. It's inevitable. But just as inevitable is God's love. And just as inevitable is the opportunity we have to choose how we answer it.